insane fun. Like, I don't even know how. I was looking at a memory supplement today because I'm just like, I really need my memory to be stronger.
Oh, thanks for that feedback. Yeah, I don't know how. Are you more of like a visual person or like a linguistic?
Yeah, I will never forget a face ever. Mm-hmm. Like I always remember faces, but I really struggle with the names. I have to like really hone in when people are introducing themselves or else I'm just like in one ear and out the other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh man, that feeling of like, oh my God, they just told me and I have no idea what they said. Yeah. Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and get started, ladies. Hi, Jessica. Happy to have you here. Yay. Awesome. So we may have a few additional sisters trickle in, but we'll go ahead and get this party started because we've got lots of ground to cover as usual and some fun stoic activities. And yes, those two words can go together in a sentence. I promise we're going to have fun with stoicism. So as I mentioned in my email, the invitation to this call, I think stoicism gets a pretty bad rep. It's such an amazing, wonderful, life-changing, easy-to-use philosophy and tool that can make an enormous difference, a positive difference in our lives. And it also kind of has this reputation of being like the boring kid in class or like the kids whose parents are super strict, so the kid is like always following the rules. I've just noticed in conversations that I've had and things I've listened to and read that stoicism kind of carries with it, or used to. It's becoming more popular now, but it used to be kind of a like a less cool personal development approach. And so I wholeheartedly disagree with that. I think it's incredible. And I've seen an increase in the last 6 years or so of like pop culture psychology or pop culture personal development. People like Ty Lopez is actually one of the like the marketing gurus out there that I've taken a couple of programs from, and they were actually really good. And one of his core tenets is stoicism, and it kind of re-sparked the flame for me about 6 years ago because I hadn't really visited it for about 10 years prior. So at any rate, it's becoming more cool like in the personal development space, and I'm really happy to see that because it's a pretty objective framework. There's not a lot of like sway to it, like not a lot of conjecture, not a lot of like opinion or impression around it. It's more like, hey, here are these things that these ancient philosophers noticed by way of living these incredibly complex lives, which I'll touch on lightly in the call tonight, that then throughout the ages developed into one of the primary core philosophies that have been developed in humanity. And these tenets have been used, these principles have been used since then. And I've yet to come across a case of somebody using or like living with stoicism in hand or at least like in mind that hasn't experienced exceptional results in their inner world and their inner happiness, like true happiness, and then also their external results and the things that they've been able to accomplish and achieve on the outside as well. So you'll find, if you read autobiographies or you listen to like TED Talks or you read up on people who seem to be pretty well centered and pretty well like evenly keeled, and or perhaps even people that you know personally who are less influenced by caring what people think or less influenced by the opinions of the media or what have you, there's a likelihood that they at least are aware of Stoic principles and agree with them, if not actually like exercise them in their lives. So personally, I've implemented these principles to in times pretty consciously. Like there have been times where I'm like, okay, what would the Stoic fun do right now? what would that look like? And it's really given me amazing results. There were, especially during like life transitions or big decisions or kind of like times where my comfort zone is pumping the brakes on me and I'm like, no, like I need to get to the other side of you. Stoicism has been enormously helpful. And it's non-denominational, it's non-religious. It adapts really well also though to the non-dogmatic spiritual principles of Buddhism, Taoism, Hinduism. Like it really, there's a lot of congruency in a lot of these ancient like teachings and principles and philosophies, as should be the case, considering that we're, you know, a human species, there should be some commonality there. And there is. So it's just a really nice, like, no frills, no fluff, at least I think, perspective on how to orient toward life and how to operate and navigate life. So I'm really excited to share this with you. And we're going to do some exercises. I'll do a little bit of teaching in a minute here. We'll do some exercises and actually put this into principled practice by the end of the call. And then you're also going to have like a cool little handbook to take with you. I made a workbook to implement in the next week if you can. There's like 8 different ways you can implement Stoicism, and we'll be talking about that too. So this will be a really actionable thing that we're working with as well. But first, let's do an introduction round. Yeah, there's 5 of us tonight. There might be a couple more, so we can be a little more leisurely should we feel inclined to. So maybe like a 2 or 3 minute introduction if you'd like. And we'll do name, location, a gratitude, and an example of a recent example of utilizing your free will or choice in the last week or couple of weeks. Like anything that stands out where you were like kind of in a position to default to the old pattern or the old way, or you're in a position to decide between a few things that were, you know, it was kind of a tricky decision, but any example of choice or free will as well. So, all right, I'll get started with Emily. Hi, Em.
Hey, guys. I'm Emily, and I live in Berkeley, California, but I'm in Michigan right now. Sister's having a baby in like T-minus a week, hopefully. So just here to support her. And I think that's like really within my gratitude right now. Just like, I'm so grateful to be in this space with her as she's like preparing, and just here to help her. And like, I'm so excited to be an aunt, like like this is the first time on my side. So like, there's just like huge amount of like emotional stuff that's, you know, it's just like, so I'm just so grateful to be here right now. And yeah, so I, that is big gratitude. And I would say free will choice, like a default to free will. The first thing that came to mind, I don't know if it like really applies or whatever, but I don't know. The first thing that came to mind when you talked about this was I was originally planning to drive to Michigan. I was going to fly to Texas, pick up my grandparents' car who live in Texas, and they're coming home, and I'm drive their car back up to Michigan. And Nika started dilating, and I was like, okay, like, default Emily would like just try to people please and make everybody happy, and I just kind of like suffer the consequences of whatever had to happen to like make the situation work out without ruffling feathers. And I made a choice to fly to Michigan and just get here as soon as possible and just really put like my needs and my sister's needs first. And maybe that would have been like a really simple choice for other people, but for me, it was feeling like I was going to let a lot of people down. And so for me, that was, it felt like a way going away from like a default of like, okay, I can work through this. I can figure out this issue. Like I can like prioritize what needs are actually the priority, you know? So yeah. That's where I'm at with that.
Good for you. Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of pressure on a lot of sides. Like you've got the clock ticking and then you've got family. Yeah. How did you feel when you made that decision and you were like, nope, this is what I'm doing. And then you did it.
I just felt relaxed. Like I felt calmer, relaxed, because I felt like, you know, when I called my grandma, she's like, what do you need? And I was like, I was like, I know we have this plan and we've worked this out, and I'm feeling like I need to change this plan. And she's like, okay, I'm just going to call. And I was like, okay. And, you know, it just ended up being so much easier than I built it up to be in my head, you know? And so it just felt like I felt proud of myself for like, just not like wavering and like waiting or procrastinating and making his decision, but just making the decision that was in my heart and just going with it.
Good for you. Yeah, that's awesome. I think on a pretty regular basis, a lot of us could use that magic in our lives, right? Like just going with the thing that we want to do, that we feel like we want to do. Yeah, good for you. Thanks for modeling that for all of us. Cool. Sylvia, hi.
Okay, just finding the mute unmute button. Hi, I'm Sylvia. I am currently in North Carolina. I'm a first-year MBA student, which is exciting. So my whole life is school right now. Gratitude for this week are just the healthy habits that I've been kind of putting into place before starting school that I can continue and fall back on, in particular being doing food prep on Sundays so that we default to, you know, our like more healthy like veggies and stuff. If they're all cut up, they're all ready to go, you know, during the busy week, we will be eating healthy. So that something I'm grateful for is healthy habits, and kind of along those lines, using my free will and choice, kind of the thing that just came to mind was like if I'm overloaded or stressed or overwhelmed, using healthy habits like, I don't know, Pomodoros. I have been struggling. Sometimes I don't do them all the time, but they actually are really helpful. So maybe like bad habit would be to just like get on Facebook and try to, you know, just scroll and like not think or whatever, but a healthier habit would be to, you know, to do like a Pomodoro, and sometimes I'll take a 5-minute break and kind of get up and dance around or just move, you know, move my body for 5 minutes and then kind of get back into it. So feels much better when I do the healthy thing, the more productive thing, rather than, you know, default to something unproductive and something that doesn't help me move towards my goals.
Heck yeah, good for you. That's awesome. Yeah, switching the dopamine stimulus, or not the stimulus, but the response, right? Like,
yeah.
Instead of just, oh, I'm just going to mindlessly scroll because I'm overwhelmed right now. Like, no, I'm going to move, breathe, do some good stuff for myself. Good for you. That's huge. I mean, that over time, right, that does really enrich your, obviously, your, like, overall well-being, but also your ability to pivot to the healthy, like, repeatedly and more easily. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks. And amidst being a first-year MBA student, too, I imagine that would be really helpful.
Totally. Yeah. It's way better.
Nice. Would you be willing to tell the rest of the girls what you told me when we first hopped on about what you refer to these calls as?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I call them my coaching church. So I tell my husband, like, hey, I got my coaching church tonight because, yeah, it's just like a good reminder. I know it's not weekly, you know, like when I used to go to church or whatever. But it's just a good way to remind me to keep doing healthy habits and continue, you know, because sometimes I'll like fall off the wagon, but, you know. These always calls always remind me like I need to do better, or I want to do better, not need to do better.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's great. Yeah. It's like
without the negatives, the bad, you know, the fears and all the negative stuff that I experienced going to church. So.
Right. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. I really like that. Awesome. Hi, Caprice. Welcome. Good to see you here.
Mute mine. Hey, hi, I'm Caprice. I'm in New Hampshire. I'm grateful for learning. I think this year I've been learning a lot about myself and a lot of things that make me struggle a lot. I just came to just finding out that's not how it's supposed to be, like the, some kind of thoughts that I usually have, I shouldn't have them, or I can work with it. So it's just, and then I don't know if it is what you asked, but today I just finished a 3 days water fast, and then I thought it was like, it takes a lot of willpower. So for everything, just myself, and then people around that want to do things, and I'm there fasting.
Wow, that's amazing. Good for you. Is it, are you aiming for 3 days or are you aiming for longer?
I thought doing 2 days, and then I was like 3 days, okay, yeah, I'm just going to continue. And then I think like I have 1 day I'm going to try to be like to do the whole week. It would be like a huge thing for me. But for now, I'm very happy with the 3 days.
Good for you. That's amazing, willpower. Oh, my gosh. How do you feel?
Good. Very good. I feel that I can do a lot of stuff that I just have to want to do it and be kind of strong and don't change my mind because somebody else is around and just saying something. And yeah.
Great. Oh, that's awesome. So it's like literally it's a challenge of willpower, but then also it's kind of training you for like bigger decisions or bigger things in your life. Yeah, to say no.
Yeah.
That's great. Good for you. Thanks for sharing. And hi, Jessica. Happy to have you here.
Hello. Thank you. I'm Jessica. I am located in Chicago. I am super grateful to be here in Chicago right now. I just got back from traveling home for a funeral in my family, and it was really beautiful, but, you know, just like traveling and then also like grieving with family, it's such a nice feeling to come home and be able to relax a little bit. So I'm super grateful for that. And yeah, free will. Yeah, so traveling, I haven't seen my family in a while. They're several states away. And it was an interesting experience to see how everybody is handling the current world that we're living in. And so I think the free will that I chose on this trip was to accept that everybody has a different perspective and risk assessment and choosing to know what was important to me and just making sure that I navigated through the different scenarios, maintaining that while like not getting too worried or stressed or judgmental about how other people were feeling comfortable. So it was, yeah, that was a little bit of a challenge, but I think I feel pretty good about how things went overall. So yeah.
Great. Good for you. Ooh, that's stretchy. That's family and family you haven't seen, and the obviously like the nature of the pandemic being so, well, in some circles at least, polarizing or triggering for people to see how other people handle it. So for you to be able to have an intention on having a North Star for yourself and just kind of sticking to that is that's awesome.
Okay.
Good for you. Yeah. Would it have, is this kind of a new behavior for you, or is this how you probably would have navigated it, I don't know, before?
I think as I've gotten older and started, like, doing more work on myself, I'm starting to, like, see family members in a different light, and so I have actually found that I've become a little bit more judgmental, and I don't really like that, so I think it was definitely like a good practice in being in like a very like hands-on experience of having to just be like, okay, this is how you're handling that. Okay. And this is how you're handling that. Okay. And like, this is the way I'm going to go. And so it really was like a super tangible practice. And so that was good for me, I think.
Yeah. Awesome. Good for you. Who's had experiences maybe similar to this, being around family or friends where you're like, okay, I just need to focus on what I can control here. Yeah. Awesome. I appreciate that. And that's a really great segue into the theme of tonight, stoicism, because it's one of the core principles. Let's see. Oh, I introduced myself. I'm Fawn. I'm in Yalapa. I'm grateful that our newly partially adopted puppy Toby. He got fixed yesterday, and I always worry when animals go into any kind of vet situation, even though it's totally fine. But he's doing great. He's like running around, and I'm trying to keep him. Right now he's sleeping, so that's good. So grateful for that. And free will choice this week. Ooh, man, I've been choosing to get involved and interact more with some really exciting high-level players in some fun circles where I could easily like opt out and be like, oh, I'm busy that day. But like, no, I'm not. So I've been doing some really stretchy stuff and having some big conversations. And after every single one of them, I'm like, oh my God, that was so exciting. That's the best. So it's been a really great reminder to never turn something down because it feels too big or like, you know, too exciting. Awesome. Okay. So let's shift into talking about stoicism. So I'm going to share a little bit about it, and then I'm going to talk about the core disciplines and principles. So there are, I just want to give some context here. So in philosophy, especially with philosophical things that have been around for a really, really long time, there's like the core of it that has remained either intact because of its principled nature, or it's remained intact because it is universally upheld as being like best practices of that philosophy. So not to say that just because it's remained intact, like it's right or better or anything like that. But in this case with Stoicism, it has lasted the test of time throughout the years, at least to this point. And so what I'll be sharing with you ladies tonight are like the core nuggets of it. I'm not going to get into all of the different like branches and opinions and interpretations and usages of it, because there have been some of that throughout the years as well. But for the most part, the great thing about Stoicism is that those who would call themselves Stoics or who practice this stuff pretty much stick to these core tenets and then adapt them to the larger world as it is. So this philosophy, I'll go ahead and share my screen actually, because I did make a workbook, but I'm not going to go through it line by line because I want to have some face time with all of you. Okay, and I'll send this out after the call too. All right, thriving through Stoicism. So one of my inspirations in bringing this to the table as well is that Stoicism is woven throughout LFP, albeit not necessarily overtly. I don't always go out and say like, this is something from Stoicism or this is a core principle. Part of the reason for that is that for efficiency, and the other part of that is it so matches with a lot of the things in LFP that I just kind of group them together and paraphrase it, summarize it, interpret it myself. But to be completely transparent, there is quite a bit of Stoicism woven throughout in a variety of different ways, and it's very supportive of a lot of the things that we practice. So I thought it about time to bring this to a group call. That, and as I'm going back through and revising LFP with my copywriters, Stoicism is one of these things that I've like wanted to have its own workbook in module 5 around self-agency, and it hasn't, so now it's going to. Okay, so we'll do a group share in just a minute here. I'm gonna share some of these core tenets real quick, and then we'll do a group share and keep going. So Stoicism is a pretty old philosophy. It originated in the minds and the lives of a handful of men, as it were. I'm sure women practice this too, but unfortunately we don't really get a page in the history books all the time. So I'm just going to highlight why these guys are so significant, or like their life experience and why the application of Stoicism was so significant for them. So Zeno was kind of the first guy that culled together Stoicism as a philosophy. And then these, Marcus Aurelius, Seneca, Epictetus, and Aristotle built on it or adapted it and kind of discovered a framework around it. So Zeno was a shipwrecked merchant. So the guy's, you know, sailing through the seas with all of his like expensive merchandise, and he wrecks on like this remote beach island, and then he's taken under the wing of one of the elder philosophers who like took him in and started teaching him philosophy, and he completely clicked with it, and he kind of bridged the gap from the former iteration of philosophy that was before Stoicism, and he took it and kind of started to wrangle the principles of Stoicism and differentiate from the previous discipline. So then, so Marcus Aurelius, who's considered one of, if not one of the greatest leaders in history, had a very positive reputation, even not to say the history books are accurate, but even throughout history, there's a lot of unanimity, a lot of agreement that he was a very fair ruler. He was a very disciplined, principled, compassionate, empathic ruler. And he was a Stoic. He's like kind of known as the guy. Him, Seneca, and Epictetus are known as the like the three dudes of Stoicism. So as a Roman emperor, one can imagine, only imagine, right, all of the crazy things that one would have to deal with on any given day in ancient Rome, ruling a population of people. Not to mention like, you know, being invaded or, you know, threats and interpolitics and things like that. So those who wrote about Marcus Aurelius wrote about him in such a way that it's pretty agreed that he was a very noble guy. He was a very virtuous guy, and he had a lot of influence. And Stoicism was the main backbone of his ethos, his ethics when he was ruler, and helped him enormously. Those who study, like the historians who study his legacy, look back at the decisions he made and why he made those decisions, how he made those decisions, and it's evident in all of those decision points that Stoicism was something that he referred to in the decision making. So obviously pretty badass application of Stoicism. And so Seneca came from a super wealthy family, and his family paid for him to go to or study under the tutelage of some of the best teachers. And one of his teachers had an inclination toward philosophy and started to talk to him and teach him about philosophy. And long story short, he then was kind of forced into going into politics just because of his family lineage. And he kind of secretly on the side was a philosopher and was obsessed with Stoicism. And so his relationship with the Stoic disciplines was hugely advantageous. He was very well respected. Seneca and Marcus Aurelius, their writings on Stoicism are incredible, and they're considered like the go-to resource for learning more about this. I mean, it's like poetry. It's mind-blowing. I love reading it. And then we have Epictetus, who's like a completely different situation from both these guys. So, from all three of these guys. So he was born into slavery. He was brutalized as a slave, treated very unfairly. And this was corroborated, not because he wrote about like, oh, poor me, I was beaten half to death all the time, but it was written about by peers who were around him. And so as his story goes, just to keep this really, really, really short, he had fallen under the rule of a particularly nasty slave owner who, for reasons unknown, forcibly broke his leg. And so he had a limp for the rest of his life. And yet, in his descriptions of that experience, and then after he was freed as a slave, he never wrote about that experience in any, there's like zero evidence of victimhood, zero evidence of it was so unfair, it was unjust, I can't believe this happened to me, like all of course I'm paraphrasing, but in everything that he has written or had written about his experience, he writes about it from this perspective of empowerment. And that's a huge theme that I'll get to in a second. In Stoicism is whatever is happening, and if there's nothing we can do about it, then we get to honor it as an experience that is making us into a better person. In some way, shape, or form, we are becoming a better person because this thing has happened or happening to us. So we always have a choice, and this is where free will and choice come into play. One of the intersections, at least, is being able to define for ourselves the meaning that we're making from any given situation. And I talk about this a fair amount in LFP, especially when it comes to like our thoughts and our thinking. And we have gremlins and we have allies. We have thoughts that hijack us into a negative direction and spin us out. We have thoughts that convince us that we know that the world is a certain way. We have all kinds of thoughts. But the reality is that everything is neutral, and we're creating meaning about the experiences around us. And so we have a choice about what interpretations and meanings are important to us, what we want to co-sign, and then what things are simply happening around us that we don't necessarily need to like narrate all the time. So Epictetus, I just like his story, and he became a teacher, and he became a super influential philosopher and Stoic, and his writings are also, I mean, they're pretty intense, but they're just like an incredible reminder of this courage, which is one of the principles, and I'll get to that in a second. So, and then there's good old Aristotle that we know mostly from his dabblings in astronomy and philosophy, but he actually kind of came later and encountered the Stoic philosophy and then realized something that hadn't been articulated as clearly in the writings before, and that was around temperance. So this idea around not going too far off in either direction in life, whether that be in overindulgence or underindulgence, whether it be in affluence or poverty. So temperance being our ability to regulate ourselves, to kind of control ourselves, and to measure that in a way that is conducive to living a thriving life, a balanced life, the good life, as the Stoics referred to it. So those are the kind of primary people, men, but there have been a lot of, a lot of people who have carried this on throughout the ages. And these days there are a handful that are writing some really fun stuff around this. So that's the history of it. And the reason I even talked about that, because usually I won't go into like the historical stuff around whatever I'm talking about, is that the uniqueness of and the intensity of each of these lives and what must have taken place in these, like, let's call them like statistically abnormal outliers, right? Like all of these men lived pretty like off of the bell curve kinds of lives, whether it be by misfortune, fortune, or otherwise. And to me, that lends more credibility to any kind of principle or any kind of discipline, because if a slave, an emperor, a wealthy heir, and the shipwrecked merchant, like if all of these different walks of life uphold and thrive by utilizing these principles, to me, there's less of a bias toward it being just for the wealthy or just for the smart or just for the, you know, the free or whatever. So there's that. Okay. So some familiar themes. We talk about these themes a lot. I won't go through all of them, but I just wanted to kind of bridge what we talk about in LFP and in our coaching sessions with that, like, how does this relate to Stoicism? I talk a lot about aligning with reality, so not arguing with reality, not telling ourselves that something else should be happening or something shouldn't be happening. That's a really big theme. Locus of control. So do we believe that, are we attributing the control to ourselves, or are we saying it's something external's fault or doing? Are we attributing our well-being, our happiness, our emotions to somebody outside of us, something outside of us, or are we taking responsibility for our experience? A big theme, a through line that I see in Stoicism, and they don't outright say this necessarily, is letting go of ego, drama, and attachment. So, like, pity parties, tantrums, self-righteousness, heavily valenced opinions, like that doesn't really have a lot of room in Stoicism. And it seems to be for the best of the individual and, you know, the collective as a whole. So I won't go into that too much, but I just, like, I notice a lot of parallels in a lot of this stuff. Okay, so here's some information for you ladies to read and check out. I'm not going to go into all of it here on the call. I've kind of just summarized it in what I was saying. There's a ton in this workbook, so you have some good nuggets to check out after this call. But I do want to talk about the three disciplines of Stoicism and the four virtues of Stoicism, and then we will, actually, let's do a share first. I'm going to take a break. I've been talking a lot. So let's do a quick share activity here. So I will invite you all, I'm going to stop the screen share here. Actually, any questions before we do a quick round robin share? That all makes sense. Okay, cool. All right. So I would love for you to reflect on an area of your life that you are currently upgrading, an area of yourself or an area of your life that you're consciously either wanting to improve or you're like actively improving it, or something that you seem to just keep repeating and you can't seem to like figure out what's going on with it. Like, could be a habit, it could be a behavior, it could be a reaction. So the general idea here is to reflect on something that you're, it's like a work in progress or something that you would like to upgrade. I'll give you 20 seconds to just think of what that thing is, and then I'll walk through a couple more questions and then we'll do a share. Okay. Who would like to go first? Emily, awesome.
Okay. So I've been reflecting actually on this a lot recently. So I'm glad you brought it up. And the area that I'm really working on is planning ahead. I'm like a serial procrastinator, and I really... I'm such a rebel in my own way of like not wanting to, anytime I like commit to doing something, I have this like part of me that just wants to be like, no, we're going to go do it a different way. Or like sometimes even I notice this with my partner where he'll like tell me to do something or ask me to do something and I'll just like do the complete opposite. And so, I'm really facing this right now. And I noticed that in my family, my lineage, planning ahead is like not a skill set that we really developed. And so it like kind of puts you at the mercy of being a victim in a lot of ways of like, well, this situation happened, but you know, I'm not really in control. And you know, that's a disordered way of thinking. And I know it. I felt it for a long time, and it's like, part of my work, my development work, to like really take ownership of what planning ahead means for me and what areas of my life do I really feel like I need that to be more solidified. So that's something that I'm working on.
Thank you for sharing that. yeah, thanks so much. Who can relate with any of what she just shared, planning ahead or being a rebel for, yeah. Thanks, Emily. Totally. The rebel piece for sure. you kind of answered my follow-up questions, which are how does this, the less than optimal version show up or play out, and what triggers are associated with this behavior. But I have one question for you. What would it look like if you were aligned with Thrive Mode? If this was like you were in alignment with it?
I think it's overall an orientation to my attitude, you know, of feeling, you know, when you feel prepared, you just feel lighter, you know, you just feel like less heavy. And you don't carry that stress of being unprepared, you know, because when you're not prepared for something, you carry that stress with you throughout the whole unprepared part. And then afterwards of feeling like the guilt and the regret of it afterwards. So what it would look like for me is just a whole lot more relaxation and a whole lot like less self-judgment and criticism of myself, because even though I know I struggle with this, it doesn't stop me from having like those uncompassionate thoughts afterwards of like, you know, you could have done this better, you know, like, why didn't you do this better, you know? And so yeah, I'm just like really working through that, those belief sets that are implanted, but, you know, becoming unplanted.
Yeah. So I think what I'm hearing you say, to kind of combine a couple things here, is that you would love to plan, you'd love to be a good planner and to be able to lean into it with ease as opposed to resistance. And then to, when maybe you don't plan or it doesn't quite go the way you want it to, that you'd like to be compassionate on yourself and be able to take it easy on yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just, you know, and it's not always just like the plan, like sometimes it's not just like the planning ahead, but it's like the commitment to the priority, you know, like, okay, I can plan ahead, but like how much time am I spending like planning ahead and like not actually doing the work that needs to be done to like get to the planning ahead, you know, like where you focus on the ancillary tasks of planning ahead, but not actually like the meat and the core of it. So yeah. So I think just like less stress would be the reality if I was there, and, you know, more compassion too, because I would just have like a better balance of like, yeah, it's okay if you mess up sometimes, but right now I'm just like, so like trying, like really zoomed in on this like skill set that I'm trying to develop.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing that. Much appreciated. Yeah. Awesome. Who else would like to volunteer to share something that you're focusing on? Jessica, thank you.
Okay, this is, I mentioned this already, it's probably going to be a recurring theme tonight for me. An area that I'm currently working on is kind of assessing judgment on everything, or seeing everything through a judgmental lens. This is something that like Fawn helped me identify a couple months ago, and I never really realized that that's how I was kind of like filtering everything. But I'm definitely becoming more aware, and which is helpful. But it's like not my ideal self. I find myself reacting without like finding a pause first or finding that space to consider a scenario without first like judging it, I guess, and then like having like an instant reaction instead of just like receiving the scenario or accepting the scenario and then making decisions based on a level head, I guess.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah. Can anyone else relate with having kind of a default to judging things, or finding yourself judging things more than you realize? I know I've gone through. Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything that triggers it? Anything?
Yeah.
Yes.
I heard you mention this to Emily, so I was thinking ahead, and definitely being told what to do, because I also have that rebellious, like, I am not going to do that. I'll do what I want. So, anytime I feel like I'm being told what to do, then it's an instant, like, who are you to tell me what to do? I'll do what I know what is best. and yeah.
So relatable. That's why I'm laughing.
Or also when I'm observing somebody else, like experiencing unnecessary stress or like stressing about circumstances that they created for themselves, I find myself that I instantly kind of like, you know, you did this to yourself and there are things that you could do better and then you wouldn't be in this situation. And that's not fair to anybody. You know, like I am working on that myself. And so I need to like give myself compassion and also give everybody else compassion with that.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Who can relate to that one? Like, yeah, I call that my Judgy Susan archetype. I'm like, well, what did you think was going to happen? Like, hello. I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't walked in your shoes. I don't know what's going on over there.
I call her Judge Judy. Like a Judge Judy.
Yep. Thanks, Jessica. Sylvia, would you be open to sharing? Cool.
Yeah.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Julie. The thing that came to mind for me was I have a hard time letting some things go, like roll off or like not ruminating on things. Like, for example, if I have kind of like an awkward conversation or, you know, did I say the right things or did I say this the right way? Or in other, or like another thing is like when I feel like, you know, someone's, I think I know what other people are thinking sometimes, and sometimes I really think I do, because, like, I grew up in that situation or in that culture or whatever, so I'm like, I'm pretty sure I know what they think about me at this point or whatever, but I know it's not always true, and I don't need to do that, and it probably just, you know, it doesn't hurt them at all, but it hurts me to ruminate on it, so that's something I have been trying to get better at, and you know, it's slow, but it's a difficult thing for me.
Thank you so much for sharing that. So it sounds like it's kind of two parts, one being the assumptions or like kind of having a story without knowing the full story or the facts about the person, and then ruminating on that story.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Who can relate with that? I definitely can relate to that, especially when it comes to the like opinions of others, right? Like, this person must think this.
Yeah.
Totally. Are there any triggers, like any kinds of, like, I guess different kinds of people or situations that trigger this?
Definitely. Yeah. Like, yeah. Awkward. Like if I have an awkward conversation, I'll wonder if I said the, you know, things in the right way, and hoping that they didn't take it the wrong way or something, or you know, anything kind of dealing with old culture I grew up with or whatever. Like when that comes, you know, around, that's a hard thing and a trigger. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. What would it look like if you were in a really good place with this thing that you're like kind of working on shifting, what would that look like?
Right. I guess the healthy thing is just to, you know, if I'm able to just switch gears faster and not, you know, ruminate on it, then I can, you know, move on quicker and not have that negativity in my brain.
Good for you. Nice. Yeah, that's, I appreciate that you have that perspective of like, it's probably still going to happen, but being able to catch it more quickly and let it like flow by instead of like it sticking to the wall of your mind or your emotions. Yeah, that's
right.
Great. Because what a lot of people can tend to do is be like, I shouldn't think this way. I shouldn't do this. So when it comes in, they already feel like, oh, what's wrong with me? Like, this shouldn't be popping into my head or whatever. When in reality, like we have no control over what pops into our head. We only have control over what we do when it pops into our head. So I appreciate that you're like, you have a kind of a realistic stance on that for yourself of like just noticing it sooner. Yeah, great. And Caprice.
Wait, unmute my, Well, I relate to what everybody's working on. So, but then there's one that I've been trying to work in. It's even a book that you asked me to read, and I'm already reading it. And it's the Not Nice book.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
It's like about not being so people pleasing and so nice to. My problem is with strangers. Like, if I don't know somebody, if I don't know the person, I don't even, I'm not myself. Like, I don't say anything. I don't give my opinion. I try not to, if the person is important in for work or something that's going on, it's just so hard even to talk. Like, I just don't want to say anything because I don't want to ruin it. And I now have so much to say, and I can say so many interesting things that I just stop there. I can't. I just speak. So this is what I'm working on. So,
yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Does anyone else have that experience of, like, being around other people that are in positions maybe of power or authority and just, like, not showing up as yourself, like, holding back? Yeah, totally relate to that. Thank you for sharing that, Chris. How would you like to show up? Like, if you were in a really good place with this, what would that look like?
So once in a while, it happens, like, that I'm totally myself with strangers. And, like, today, I was showing an apartment, and I was just, like, I just spoke everything that I wanted to. Like, the person was late, and then I told her, you're late. Like, it was in a very nice way. And I was able to handle it and just say in a very nice way, and we laugh about it. So it was so nice. And I said pretty much everything that I wanted to say. You're late. This is the kind of apartment that you're seeing. And I said everything. So that would be the perfect, like, and I could taste it. That was awesome.
Yay. Nice. That's great. So you're already, like, it happens once in a while. You mentioned. Yeah. Great. Love that. And Julie, I know you just hopped on to join us, but if you want to think on your feet real fast, I invite you to share something with us that you are currently working on, whether it's like an upgrade around yourself or around your life, or something that you have been, like, kind of trying to shift or change, but it just can't, it's not, like, seeming to do the thing. Does anything come to mind?
Well, actually, I am, so just, like, anything?
Yeah.
Okay. Working from home is a little bit difficult for me, and I've been trying to get my schedule, like, worked out, and so, you know, at times, like, I have been, like, disciplined, you know, I know what my schedule should be, like, I know what my goals are, but, like, sometimes in reality, it ends up being, like, just, like, I get behind, so that's something I'm really trying to work on, and then, like, you know, getting up earlier, you know, or, yeah, going to bed earlier, getting up earlier, and sometimes, like, I'm in this habit right now of, like, staying up late and I can't get up early, and it's been, like, going on, and so I'm having, like, a really hard time, like, getting that, like, back on track, just because it's, like, become a little bit of a habit. So that's something that I'm kind of, like, struggling with and working on.
Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who can relate with what Julie just shared, like, kind of difficulties around self-discipline or, yeah, willpower. Yep. Thanks, Julie. What would it look like if you were where you want to be with this? If you were like, ooh, this, I'm in a good flow.
It would look like having enough time in the morning to, like, do something for myself that puts me in, like, the headspace. You know, I'm really missing, like, like, who misses their commute? But, like, I really miss my commute. Like, the you know, and sometimes it was, like, such a hassle, like, you know, getting on the train at the time in the morning when everyone was on the train, and, you know, just all that, but it really, like, it gave me, you know, just a time and a goal. Like, I was out, I was active, I got my blood pumping, you know, I got my coffee, like, and going to work. And just that separation of, like, home and work, like, now it's, like, my bedroom's right next to my office, and it's just kind of hard to separate. And then I'm all the way out here in, like, you know, the suburbs, like, I gotta get in my car and go spend, like, you know, almost half an hour going to get a coffee. So it's like that. Like, so I would have enough time to just, like, have some time for me, do like, maybe exercise, walk around the neighborhood, and then just kind of get that, like, energy out and that blood flow going. And then I would come and sit down at, like, you know, the normal working hours time.
Love it. Yeah. Thanks for that. Cool. All right. I have a couple, just side note, I have a couple of ideas of tribe sisters who could help you stay accountable. If you're interested, I can put you in touch.
Cool.
This is a common theme in the tribe. There's usually at least, like, three people who are on the, hey, let's text each other and wake up around 6 or 7, you know, like that whole thing. And it's really helpful. So
yeah.
That was a side note, but thank you for offering that. Yeah. Awesome. And then, Jess, I wanted to circle back to you. Was there anything else that came up for you in terms of what your ideal, like, flow or space would be around the judgment or the rebelling?
Yeah, I think I would just be much more calm and accepting in different scenarios and not internalizing, like, whatever's happening around me. And, like, putting it on myself, just kind of accepting that, you know, it's happening around me and I am me, and, you know, like, I have full choice as to how I engage or don't engage or perceive the situation.
Great. Okay. Yeah. So sounds like similar to what you said you just successfully pulled off with your family in the past week, which is, like, staying centered.
Yeah.
Totally. Good for you. Awesome. Thanks for sharing, ladies. Those were so relatable, every single one of them. Very, very relatable themes and perfect for the next section that we're diving into here. So I'm going to kind of speed through a little bit more teaching, and then we're going to wrap back around to the exercise that we just did. We're going to do the part B of it, and then I'm going to send you off with all kinds of fun stoic stuff to practice. Okay, so I'll go back to our workbook here. Cool. So we went through where it came from and some of the familiar things about it. So for the sake of our time together, I'm just going to go over, again, like, the principles. I'm not going to go into all the other stuff. So there's three disciplines, and then there's four virtues. In some interpretations of Stoicism, there's an interpretation that there are more than four virtues, more than three disciplines, like variations, if you will. But these are the more common ones, especially when it comes to the founders of the philosophy. And so this is going to sound really familiar to a lot of you: perception, action, and will. So these three disciplines, these three aspects of our consciousness, of our waking experience, are where we are either sleepwalking and we're asleep to these things, which can get us into a lot of trouble, and which is what gets us into a lot of trouble, being on autopilot, right? Not catching what's going on and just, like, going through the motions. Or when we are awake and perhaps noticing, but we are misinterpreting what we're noticing or misinterpreting what we're perceiving, and then therefore our action and our behavior is out of alignment because we have a misperception about the thing. Kind of like what Sylvia was sharing. It's a perfect example of, and this is really common, Sylvia, so I'm not trying to put you on the spot like there's something weird about this, but it's very relatable that we, you know, if I have a perception or an assumption that somebody, maybe they looked at me a certain way, or maybe they said something over email and I interpreted it as, like, oh my God, like, they think I'm an idiot coach or something. And then I based on that perception, I spin out into, like, I don't know, having an anxiety attack or, I don't know, doing something based on that. But then if I take it even further into how I handle it, am I going to kind of crumble under that story that I'm having? Or am I going to ask myself, okay, what can I do about this? Am I going to be constructive? But when we're, whether we're unconscious or we're conscious and misinterpreting, both of those things can lead us to some pretty not great places. So with Stoicism, what's great about these, the disciplines and the virtues, what I like about them at least, is that I don't have to think about much, because I know, I'm like, okay, Stoicism is like, be awake and aware, what's within my control, what's not within my control. First order of operation. Is this something that I have any influence over right now? Is this something that I have any influence over in the future? Is this something that I can emotionally or perceivably have any control over or not, right? So that perception, how am I seeing things? How am I interpreting things? What meaning am I creating? And I know I drive this home all the time, but we experience reality through the lens of the meaning that we make about things. So this is why non-judgment or objective judgment is so important. Not to say we can't form opinions, boundaries, values around our perceptions. Totally, we can do that. But if we're seeing things through a colored lens in the first place, it's going to make it a lot more difficult. So objective judgment, so neutral, right? So event happens, thing happens, instead of jumping to conclusions about it or rebelling, right? Or procrastinating, taking a pause and checking in with like, okay, there was the stimulus, there was the thing I observed, but it's up to me what story I put around it. It's up to me what I tell myself about this thing. And then action. So Stoicism, the Stoic philosophy is very kind of top level, most important thing is justice and virtue. So living a life of integrity, essentially. So the action that we then take in alignment with our perception, to take action in a way that is unselfish. Unselfish not meaning like, let's just surrender ourselves to whatever comes our way, but unselfish in the sense of like, let's act in alignment with our greatest good in terms of thriving, and also in alignment with do no harm, in alignment with what else would benefit those around me, especially if I care about them. So this is more about ego than it is about like anything else. And then will. So exercising those willpower muscles, right? That came up a lot in your shares. So how are we going to choose to handle the situation? And that's the, like, such a big thing, because we can at any time do the easy thing, the programmed pattern thing that we always do. We can very easily default to justifying our behavior. Like, oh, I didn't plan ahead because like, it wasn't really that big of a deal. Or I just rebelled at you because I don't like the way you said it or whatever, right? We're basically not being accountable. That theme around accountability raises its head again, right? So we get to choose. And this is really at the core of Stoicism, you guys, is like being aware and being in choice. Being aware and being in choice and choosing what is in the highest good for thriving for ourselves and if possible those around us as well. So catching ourselves when we're being an egomaniac, catching ourselves when we're rebelling and it's actually not serving us, catching ourselves when we're self-sabotaging in whatever ways that we are, or when we're putting ourselves in situations that are going to trigger the patterns that we know we have, right? Having the ability to, and that's where Stoicism's reputation around being kind of like rigid and like black and white or whatever, this is kind of where it comes from, because it's like a right or left moment for us as humans. So I like that there's disciplines and virtues to Stoicism, because I experimented with this for a while too, back when I was in college and I was kind of getting into this stuff, I was like, well, I don't want to just take anything point blank. That's ridiculous. That is super not me, right? Like, I need to like investigate everything, rebel. And so I would kind of experiment with these things, especially around courage, temperance, justice, and wisdom. And I would, instead of me trying to make the decision in the moment all the time or like figure out how to show up, I would just be like, oh, okay, what are the four virtues? Like, what would I do with those underneath me, right? And in a way, I feel like this makes willpower a lot easier because it almost takes the effort around like why we're making the choice, like kind of takes that and like, it's because this, it's just like, it's because there's these virtues and you can leverage the virtues. So these are all about being in choice in the moment, waking up in the moment. So it's about like the being aspect of us. And then the virtues are around ways of being that we get to pivot to, we get to exercise, we get to prioritize. And I'm not trying to say that like, this is how everybody should be, or even this is how any individual should be all the time. There's no universality to this, to me. I just want to make that clear. Hardcore Stoics, yes, they're like, Stoicism or bust. But for me, these are principles and virtues and disciplines that are rule of thumb, super useful, like heuristically in the moment, super useful. So for example, courage over anything else. And I kind of have a huge argument that confidence doesn't really matter. Confidence is kind of an illusion. It's a whole different talk, but courage though, courage is actually what helps us grow. Courage is what builds us, creates us. That's how we self-create ourselves. We choose to go through our comfort zones. We choose to do our meal prepping instead of eating fast food. We choose to plan ahead. We choose to show up as ourselves in front of strangers, even though it's super uncomfortable and we're kind of afraid of being judged, right? Like, we choose this courage around choice because there's choice, like right or left, who cares? But it's when it's choosing in alignment with our thrive mode that it may not be so easy, right? It may not be so easy at all. So that courage to do that is huge. And then temperance, having the ability to measure for ourselves what is in balance for our thrive mode. Is it in balance for us to be totally authentic, outspoken, and gregarious all the time? Or maybe it's about being authentic and also reading the room and also having social intelligence about like, oh, is this the right time to say, does this serve the moment right now to say this thing or to like show up this way? And you know, there's this kind of slang phrase of everything is great in moderation, even moderation or something like that. And that's kind of what we're speaking to here is that temperance. So having a balance, like an equilibrium. And it's okay to go in one direction or the other, because if we didn't, then life would just be like super boring probably. So having some, you know, some adventure balanced with some rest time, some playful, you know, moments with some more intimate, deep, stretchy moments. But not going too much in any direction for too long, right? So what is the quote? How to do the right thing at the right moment, in the right amount for the right reason. And I know the word right is super like loaded. So let's just say like the most thriving thing in the most thriving moment. No, but you get the gist of it. Hopefully it's about knowing how engaging ourselves. And that's where wisdom comes into play big time. So how do we determine any of this? How do we determine what serves us and what doesn't? Or how do we determine what our value systems or beliefs are? Well, wisdom is what supports all of this. So this is why it's so important to intentionally seek out all kinds of information, but especially stuff from that's been utilized successfully in alignment for a very long time, right? So philosophy being one example, but also some, I'll call it spiritual wisdom, although the word spiritual is also really loaded, but I'll just say like an understanding of the human experience. There are through lines and common threads from thousands of years that still resonate and are relevant today, Stoicism being one of them. So that's, there's that kind of timeless wisdom. And then there's also the wisdom of like it, the importance of having a filter, right? So instead of just going on Facebook and regurgitating everything we see and believing it and like allowing that to dictate our decisions, let's fact check, right? Like let's check the sources. Let's see what science has to say about things. Not to say that science is always right or has the, you know, end all be all, but let's look to trustworthy, if not, I'll just say like trustworthy sources, whether that's our friends, our peers, our mentors, our sources of information, not because it's right in a right wrong sense, but because that's the information that's going to help us thrive. It's not going to help us thrive to read a bunch of bullshit, right? Or like believe all the like scammy headlines that we come across. So wisdom is something that we're constantly throughout our entire lifetime working toward. And that's what a lot of you here in LFP get to do, is learn a ton of stuff that is well-researched and vetted and all that good stuff by yours truly. So, the wisdom piece is huge, and the wisdom piece can be really huge in becoming who we want to be, because if we can find people who have worked through what we are currently wanting to work through, or we can find principles or heuristics or ways to get to where we want to go efficiently, then that's going to make our journey all the more, you know, efficient for ourselves as well. So studying others is, you know, obviously a total life hack. So then justice. So justice is, as I mentioned a moment ago, it's kind of like the top umbrella that Stoics, all the rest falls under to support justice. So justice for ourselves, justice for the world around us. Justice is a very loaded word, and I won't go into it too much right now. There's some info here, and then also a couple of links that I put in here. But it's essentially around doing the right thing. So again, right, who determines right and wrong? The heuristic being, let's do the thing that helps us thrive without doing harm to others. And optimally, let's do the thing that aligns us with thriving and can help others align with thriving. Let's try to create a, like, you know, positive zero-sum game there, or like a positive win-win for everybody, but taking responsibility for our own actions in the best we can in the moment of like, let's do the right thing, right? Okay, so here's a ton of great ways that you can practice Stoicism and try it on, and use your own life situations to try these things on. I'm not going to go through them right now because I have a group activity for us, but these are all really, really, really helpful, actually. Like, I would encourage you to really study these and practice them if possible. So let's go back to our group activity. So what I would love to do is we'll do kind of like a round the circle as we've done on previous calls, where I'll have one of you be the question asker and then the other person be the responder, and we'll just go around in the circle. So circling back to your original share, which of the three disciplines or the four Stoic virtues can you implement or at least experiment with that might help you shift into thrive mode? So it might be something that you need to do or change or adjust, or it might be something that you need to let go of, or it might be something else altogether, but usually it's like something around these two. So it could be around how you perceive things. Do you tend to, not to put you on the spot, Jess, but do you tend to have judgment or objectivity? It could be around action, right? So the rebel in all of us who just like knee jerk is like, no, I'm not, like I'm doing it my way. Or it could be around willpower, right? Like strengthening that muscle to do the uncomfortable thing or do the right thing, even though it's a lot easier to do the other thing and eat the cookie dough, which may or may not be my own personal war right now. So it could be around the three disciplines and one of the Stoic virtues. So courage, justice, temperance, or wisdom. So I'll give you ladies, let me check a time here. Okay. Give you ladies a minute to think on this. So thinking about the thing that you're working on, the thing that you're wanting to up-level, what could you start to experiment with or play with, or even like do a 24-hour surrender experiment where you're like, okay, like I'm just going to be non-judgmental for an entire day, or I'm just going to not rebel for, like, I'm going to make it a point that it's not an option for me for like this week and catch it when it happens or whatever. But like, that's, again, what's great about these for me principles is that I can kind of like, not that I'm surrendering my ability to make my own choices at all, but it's like, oh yeah, these principles are, it's kind of like core values, right? Like when we know our core values, it's a lot, at least in theory, easier to navigate life because we have this like set of things that we can, you know, fall back on. So I'll stop talking now. I'll give you a minute to think about this and we'll do a round robin. Is this making sense? Does anyone have questions? Okay. I'll put these in the chat too. Well, that's not formatted very beautifully, but there we go. All right, go ahead and take 20 more seconds or so if you need to finish a thought. And I encourage you to, like, choose something that, like, you're really going to try on this week. Like, you're actually going to hold your feet to the fire. Or we can help you hold your feet to the fire. Cool. All right. Start with Sylvia, would you be willing to be the first questioner?
I will try my best. Cool. A questioner, so I don't have to answer yet, right?
Correct. So yeah, okay. you'll be asking the question of circling back to your original share, which of the three key disciplines or four Stoic virtues can you implement to shift closer to thrive mode? And you can just leave it at that. You can elaborate if the need arises, but you can just keep it at that first question. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay.
Cool. So I'll have you ask Caprice.
Okay, so Caprice, circling back to.
Oh no, did I freeze? Did Sylvia freeze? Sylvia, Sylvia, you froze. There you are.
Sorry, I'm having internet issues. My bad if you couldn't hear me. So sorry, I'll go again. Caprice, circling back to your original share. Let's see, which of the three key disciplines or four virtues can you implement to shift you closer to thrive mode?
I think it's perception, because one of the reasons why I kind of freeze when I'm talking to somebody that I think it's super important, or it's because I have the horrible habit of think that the worst is going to happen so I can fix it before it happens. And then another thing, like sometimes it goes so well and I was just so scared that it's going to go really bad. And I was already thinking, okay, if this happened, I have to do this and I have to do that. So I can watch my thoughts and just see that, pay attention to it and know that these are just thoughts. It's not going to happen. It's not real. So.
Right. That's awesome. So I think you answered all the questions of also letting go of your thoughts and focusing on perception as your discipline. So awesome.
Great. Yeah, that's a relatable one for me. Who else has or has had the habit of like assuming the worst of a situation, just like jumping to that conclusion that, oh, this person's, yeah, totally. Thank you, Caprice, for sharing that. Awesome. Let's see, Caprice, would you be willing to ask Julie this question?
Yeah, where can I find the question?
It's in the chat.
So oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the question, it starts with circling.
Okay. Who am I asking?
Julie.
Hey, Julie. So circling back to your original share. Oh, so cute. Which of the three key disciplines of four? I have an accent, so of four stoic virtues, can you implement to shift you close to thrive mode? Did you hear me?
I did.
Do you understand me?
So for me, I think so. Definitely, like. I think temperance in virtues, like having, you know, habit-wise, you know, being a habit, what you do is who you become. So I think definitely that virtue. And then I'm not sure between, like, action and will, as far as, like, the disciplines, it's either, you know, the action that I take or the willpower to take the action. So that's.
When you lean into that, Julie, or lean into the moment of choice where it's like, ooh, I could go right or left, does it feel more like will or action that you would draw, like tap into?
It feels more like will. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So your exercise this week is around will, doing the uncomfortable. Awesome. Julie, would you be open to asking Jessica?
Yes. Hey, Jessica. Circling back to your original share, which of the three key disciplines or four stoic virtues can you implement to shift you closer to thrive mode?
Yeah, similar to Caprice, I think that perception, that I need to stay aware that my perception is actually influencing everything. So I think if I could catch myself in the moment of understanding that, then, I could choose my response so much better. Mm-hmm. So I think that, there's a part of me that, appreciates my intuition and, sometimes I think that maybe I rely on that too much and jump to conclusions. So I would like to make an effort to try not do that for, I don't know, this week or however long we're testing ourselves and see if I can patiently just take in the situation and try to really see it for what it is without giving it meaning beforehand, before I really understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Probably from like river analogy of whether you're like in the river of thought or like standing on the banks, you know, watching the river. That might be helpful to kind of picture in your minds when you're like going through that.
Yeah, thank you for that. I really like that image.
Yeah, good tie-in. Thanks, Julie. Awesome. I love what you're saying here, Jess. Like that new, that distinction, the relationship between intuition and jumping to conclusions, that's very insightful, right? To be able to like, ooh, like, is this something that I need to or want to like act on right now because I feel intuitively, or like, do I need to maybe hang back and see how this plays out? Mm-hmm. Thank you for speaking to that. That's deep stuff. Awesome. Would you be willing to check in with Emily?
Yes. Hey, Emily.
Hey.
Okay, so circling back to your original share or focus point, which of the three key disciplines or four sort of virtues can you implement to shift you closer to thrive mode?
I really was, like you, Julie, between action and will, and actually, like, hearing you kind of clarify helped me a little bit clarify also. I feel like it's definitely more will for me, of just, you know, I'm somebody who, like, really likes to, like, commit to a lot of things, and then I have trouble, like, following through on them. And it's because I'm constantly wanting to push myself, like constantly wanting to try to push myself further and further and further, but not being all that realistic about like the parameters that I need to like be aware of. And so for me, I feel like it's willpower. And I guess Vaughn, jump in here if you think I'm like on the wrong course, but I think it's willpower for me to choose the appropriate action for the appropriate time, and like the willpower to carry it through. And I think courage really goes along with that too, of just like, you know, I'm really trying to put myself in like really stretchy spaces a lot, and it takes a lot of courage to like build myself up to thinking that I can actually do it. And just like I thrive in that environment, but I really struggle when I'm like not in an environment like of other people doing it with me, you know, like when I'm just like sitting there trying to like do it all by myself. And so I'm just like wrestling with myself anytime I get, you know, those like negative Nancys in my head of like, this is hard. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, like I can just wait a little bit longer, or, you know, whatever it is. It's just, but it is willpower, you know. It's like sheer willpower to just like push yourself forward. And I really think I got to try, Sylvia, your technique that you mentioned earlier, the 25 minute, I looked it up, the 25 minute, timer thing. Like, and I think it's just, so I think that there's a courage there, is that knowing that there are plenty of techniques out there to help me, and it's the courage of like stepping into them and like, and being willing to like be vulnerable and like, and probably fail at it, you know. Like, how many of you guys, like, I think this all the time, so much of the time I expect to get it right the first time around. I like push myself to that so much, you know, and it like causes so much hesitation for me, because I just build it up so high in my head to be like, well, it's got to be perfect. So I'm just going to like wait until I have all the information to do it, and then I'm going to do it, and it's going to be perfect. And then I might get like a little bit of feedback, but I won't have to like go back to it that much, you know? And like, that's just not the way you get to like a good product, you know. Like, you can't like thrive in that. So yeah, I think it's willpower for me to really hold myself accountable to those stretchy things that I know I really need to do, but I'm like avoiding them.
Thank you so much for speaking to that. Yeah. And I'm going to plant a little seed of exploration for you as well. So could there be an aspect of perception, aka the story that is happening, that could be influencing things kind of at the origin point, right? Like,
You know, overly critical, like so overly critical of myself, of like just looking at the world around me and saying like, I'm not as experienced, I don't have as much skill set, I'm living in this, I'm in this super competitive environment right now where I know that I don't meet up to, like, I don't meet I'm not even competitive yet. And I know that's like just like perception. Like, I know that's just like all made up in my head to victimize myself. And it's so such bullshit, you know, but it's there, and it like stops me from trying, because I just take myself out of the game before I even start.
Thank you for sharing that. That's very vulnerable. Yeah, totally. And it is really, I mean, that's a perfect thing for the application of Stoicism, and because it's about making a decision to not create story or not co-sign story. Like, it's just a straight decision point of, oh, I'm just not going to be hard on myself right now because that is not in alignment with reality. Moving on. And like not getting spun out into the cycle of it or the river of it, right? And so Stoicism is immensely helpful for that negative self-talk, for jumping to conclusions, for like extrapolating meaning about us from like, you know, the outside world. It just makes it real cut and dry to be like, do I know for true that this is for sure that this is true? Nope. Okay, moving on. So thanks for letting me kind of dig in there a little bit with you, Em. And then would you be willing to check in with Sylvia, and then our circle is complete?
Absolutely. So Sylvia, which of the three disciplines or virtues do you want to implement in your quest to not ruminate on challenging conversations and thoughts and all of that?
So I was looking at will, so just, I don't know, having the willpower, I guess, and the willingness to just try and shift, like kind of make a hard shift when that happens, and maybe not distract myself, but try and just like get to something else, you know, so maybe will on there, and then maybe letting go of, I don't know if that even makes sense, letting go of perception. Yeah, and thinking that it doesn't even matter if I know what they're thinking versus, you know, even if I'm right, it doesn't change anything. So, yeah, so willpower.
I also think, like, wisdom, you know, like, really flies in there, too, like, just hearing you speak about that, because I think you have the wisdom to know, you know, like, okay, these thoughts are just like, they're, you know, and like, I have the wisdom to know that these aren't, you know, these are just beliefs and thoughts that are just distracting me, but I think you're totally right. Willpower is that even if you have the wisdom, that having the willpower to like say, okay.
Right, yeah, I've caught myself doing things and thinking, oh, I should stop doing this, and I just keep doing it. But yeah, thanks, that's great.
Yeah, great distinction there too. Awesome. All right, ladies, so I would love to set a container for us, those of us on the call, anyone listening in as well, for a week. So until next Thursday, whatever date that may be, 24th, probably 23rd. Let me just take a quick look here. So I'd love to set a week container for you, for all of us. I'm going to choose one of these to actually implement and practice and have a check-in next Thursday. We can have a check-in on Facebook, as long as that, is that okay with all of you to just do it in like the Facebook thread for this call post? Okay, awesome. Thank you. Yeah, so I know we have these calls and we like learn these things and we say these you know, we're going to make these shifts. And oftentimes that happens and it's great. But I think with this one in particular, I really want to run this as an experiment in a container as best we can, and then circle back next week and see how it went and check in with each other and see what we noticed. And, you know, if it was helpful, if nothing changed, if it was radically, you know, transformative or whatever. So I think my first top layer invitation for all of you is to, I'll send out the workbook and go ahead and like write out the disciplines and the four virtues, write them out or have them somewhere where you can see them often. So you're like reminded, oh yeah, we're doing this thing, and then practice them. Right. And then you might feel on any given day, you might feel like something might come out to you or like speak to you more than it did before, or what have you. You might kind of go through a journey with the habit or the thing that you're working on that pulls different strings at different times. So that's my invitation for you. And I love experiments. I love research, obviously. So I would love to set that container. Would anybody be willing to, would anyone be, no pressure at all, but would anyone be willing to next Thursday post in this call thread that I'll be posting tomorrow morning and say, okay, everybody, how are your results looking? Does anybody feel called to do that? That would be awesome. Your sister's having a baby, though. Are you sure? Yeah?
I mean, it only takes, what, a minute and a half to post something, you know?
Like, okay. I mean, yeah, as long as it's realistic for you. Cool. Thank you so much. That's really, really helpful. Cool. Beautiful. So mine, oh my gosh, I won't go into it because we're already over time. I had such a thought storm happen this morning, you guys, a gremlin thought storm that was like parading through me. Market research always triggers this for me, though, when I'm like looking at what other people are doing and their websites and their packages, I'm always like wanting to throw my computer through the window. anyhow, so I'm going to focus on perception for sure, and then action. So what am I making stories up about? And then also, what can I do to, what lessons are here for me, basically? And I started a journal entry, and that'll be ongoing tomorrow too, to like work through this. But perception and action, I will hold myself accountable to and check in next week in the thread also. Cool. All right. Great call, ladies. This is I know this is very like, you know, kind of straightforward and stoic, but hopefully it was valuable. We're over time. Otherwise I'd do a takeaway round, but I'll invite everybody to share a takeaway tomorrow in the thread when I post the call in the Facebook group. And then, happy experimenting. And I look forward to seeing how it goes next week when we check in. And Emily, thank you again for being willing to do that. I appreciate it. Awesome. All right, ladies. Happy Stoicism week.
I have something for Emily.
Oh, go for it.
There's a free app called Focus Keeper.
That's what I use. Timer.
Yeah, okay. You guys know it's called and it looks like this. And the free one, like, you just it does everything. I think if you pay, you get to like customize some things, but the free one is just fine. So
thank you so much.
It's super helpful. I use it almost every day, a few times a week, and it runs through 12 cycles, and it's just like really helpful for tracking. So thanks, Julie.
Yeah. Thank you. Cool.
Yay. All right. Thanks, ladies. If you have any questions or anything doesn't sit right with you, or if you're like, this is weird stuff, fun, like, feel free to reach out to me privately and I'm happy to discuss anything. This isn't about me being right. It's not about Stoicism being right. It's just another toolkit for you to try on and see what works well for you. But I'm always here to discuss and to have a conversation. So let me know. All right. Good night, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. Ciao.
Good night.
Good night.